My friends, it is so good to see you here. The last Lenten Wednesday, but Holy Week is still in front of us. And so as we gather here tonight, let us begin this worship service in the name of our God, the name in which we were baptized, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have welcomed us once again into your presence because of the death and resurrection of your Son and the new life that we have received in your name. Lord, we get to be here as your children. Lord, I pray that you would be with us tonight as you have promised to do. Send your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Lord, to continue to teach us and help us to understand and then to call these words to remembrance at the proper time. Lord, thank you for your great love for us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us confess our sin. Please stand as we do so. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, my friends, let us continue our worship service by singing "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." The first scripture reading for tonight is Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, whatever God has joined together, let no one separate. And the sermon scripture reading for today is Colossians 3, verses 1 through 7. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. We live in a day when there's a lot of very unhappy people out in the world. And they're unhappy people, but they're not happy about being unhappy. They would much prefer to be happy, but they're having a hard time finding the happiness they're looking for. And as always, the world gives answers, right? The world gives suggestions about where happiness could be found. In the past, the happiness would be found in the next gadget, but now the happiness is found within. If only you can find your authentic self and live out that authentic self that lives within you, you could be happy. And the trouble with that is that there's all kinds of people who have suggestions about what that authentic self might be. They'll suggest that perhaps there's something else in you, something that you may not have expected, you know, something like maybe you thought all your life you were a woman and you're really a man, or a man and you're really a woman, or that you are connected to the wrong belief, or that the people that around you that love you and your family is like actually trying to hold you back and tear you up. And there's just all kinds of crazy ideas out there. And the trouble with this whole thing is, in the end, the goal that they're trying to reach is they're trying to draw out, the goal is to draw out of yourself your authentic self, one that is not affected by anything on the outside. No external inputs, no shadow, no suggestion from the outside. And if we can only find our authentic self and live this way so that we can express our authentic self, we will be happy. There's a problem. According to Scripture, you know, according to the divine revelation that God has given us about ourselves that was written by the Creator of all things and actually understands how the world works and was there when we were made. Okay, he actually made us and he actually understands the sin problem that we're in. He says this: all that lies within you is sin. You want to get to the very core of who you are on your own? It's sinful. It's messed up. It's selfish. It's self-seeking. It wants to use the people around you and everything that you have in your life to try to find its own happiness. And if you live that way, it's not happy. That the desire to worship ourselves, the desire to be our own God, is actually what caused us to fall into sin in the first place. It's what brought us to the condition that we find ourselves in on our own, and it won't make it any better if we try to pursue it again. And what God has got for us is he's got a lot better answer. See, the thing is this: God knows that we're fallen short. He knows that we don't have the answer. He knows that no matter how hard we try, there is no redemption on our own. And so he redeemed us. He came when we couldn't come to him. He came to us. He came into our world. He lived on this planet. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose for us, so that now we also have new life. You know, just as Christ rose from the dead, we also have new life. And that new life that we have in Christ is the life that is actually worth living. I mean, if we want to try to be happy by living the old life where we just try to find happiness on our own, the one thing I will tell you is that it'll lead to disaster because it's not the life that God is prescribing us and it's not the life that Jesus won for us. The life that Jesus won for us is this, that we live hidden in him, that we follow him, that we conform ourselves to him, that we, in the words of the text, we died in baptism, we died and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that we are now, because we have been raised with Christ, we are to set our hearts on the things above. So, what does that mean? Well, what it means is this. God is trying to tell us what we are created for is to live in this relationship with him. It was the intent in the Garden of Eden. It was the intent from the very beginning that we would live in a relationship with God. And when sin destroyed that relationship, Jesus restored that relationship. And the Holy Spirit, through faith, makes that relationship real for us. And now we have the opportunity to once again live with him. And what that means is that our new life is not self-defined. It is defined by the God who loves us. Think about how much better that is, right? I mean, the truth is how smart are we and how well can we choose a way that is truly going to make us happy? I mean, how many times have we tried and it just fails because we're just not that smart? But what if instead we rely on the perspective of the God who knows all things, has power over all things, and loves you so much that he not only wants you to have life, but he wants it to be an abundant life. And this God gives you a task in his kingdom. Not only does he bring you into a faith relationship with him and deliver to you the forgiveness of sins and eternal life that he so desperately wants you to have, but now he welcomes you into this work of salvation where we get to be his witnesses in the world. Both in word and deed, we share the love of Christ with all the people that God has put around us in this life. That is our job. We go out and do this. This is how we live. This is the purpose, the life that God has given us, is to live it in him. Now, does that always sound like it's going to be fun? But is it going to be good? I mean, even when it's hard, even when we're struggling, even when we're not even sure what we're doing or how we're supposed to do it, when we just rely on the presence of God and the guidance of God to get us through every situation, when we don't know where all the resources are going to come from, but instead of stopping, we just depend on the God who has all resources and everything that we're going to need to do his work. And we just continue to do his work. And as we do, we are just blown away as we watch God provide time after time, as we watch God line things up and make things work, things that don't make any sense to us. At the end of the day, we just kind of look back at the situation and go, wow, look what he did. Isn't that crazy? I mean, all we did is show up and be willing and do the stuff God told us to do. And I don't know how it worked, but it worked. It's sort of like the children of Israel walking around Jericho, right? I mean, there's a plan, right? Walk around Jericho one every day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day. That'll get you the victory. Sure. Right. But the people did it, and God made it work. At the end of the day, the children of Israel just look at each other and go, God's pretty amazing. And this is what God is calling us into, that we would set our hearts on his work, set our hearts on the eternity that we're looking forward to, set our hearts on helping as many people as possible know the message of Christ so that the Spirit can work in them and that they can be converted the same way we were by the power of God, and that they also can be added to the number of those looking forward to the day that he'll come again for us. Now that's an exciting future. You want a life that is full of meaning. You want a life that's full of awesome wonder. You want a life that's full of excitement. Then be in the front lines of working in the kingdom of God, because all of those things are there in spades. You want a life that's not very meaningful? Seek after anything else. Because God tells us, the God who made us, the God who knows us, the God who knows where we were when he found us and knows where we are now that we've been redeemed, the God that has promised to be with us and to work through us, the God who has promised to give us words to say in the situation when we're standing in front of people, that God, what he says is, let's get busy. As my children, as the ones that I have gathered around myself, as my family, let's get busy. Let's go out and let's share this love. Let's share this message. Let's speak truth, sometimes hard truth. If the world hated him, it's going to hate us from time to time too. Don't be shocked when that happens. But know that when we are doing God's work, it's when we really, really feel alive. It's when we really live, because we're living the life that he has laid out for us. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. You've redeemed us. And you brought us into your family. You put into us this faith that receives the gift of salvation that you earned for us on the cross. And all of that being done, you weren't done. You gave us purpose and meaning and reason to live. You give us work to do in this world, and you have gifted us so that we can do it. You walk alongside us and give us the strength and the guidance and everything we need. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do your work among us. Help us, Lord, not to look to anything other than you for who we are, for what our purpose is, for what our meaning is. Be our God, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us continue our worship service.
Your name is breath.
Please stand as we pray. Heavenly God and Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we have gathered in your name, because you have made it possible, that you have called us here, that you have given us faith, that you died for us, and so that that faith has an object. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and minds, grow us in our faith, help us walk closer with you, Lord, so that we can respond with obedient thanksgiving as our lives conform to you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us strength as we walk through life. Lord, you promised that you would never leave us alone. You promised that you would be our rock. And Lord, in this world, we have lots of reason to have a rock. Things are moving so fast. So many things that we think are certain, we take for granted, and then all of a sudden they change. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us through all the situations of life, Lord, through the troubles in relationships, through the troubles in health, through the troubles in finances, to the troubles in so many different places. Lord, you are the one constant that we have, the one who loves us, the one who can provide all things, the one who can care for us in all situations. We pray that you would help us to be able to turn to you in all situations. Help us, Lord, to look to you for our strength so that we will be strong in all circumstances with the strength that you give. Lord, all these things we bring to you today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Should not be spoken.
now that we have spent some time in the presence of our God, hearing from him, hearing of his forgiveness, hearing his word, receiving his supper, we have been blessed. We have been served by God. And so as that is true, let us go out into this world and live out the life that he has now given us as we serve him by serving the people around him. And so receive our Lord's blessing as you go your way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's sing the final song together. Let's stand as we sing. Wonderful worshiping with you all this evening again, and just God's blessings, and I will see you once again on Sunday for Palm Sunday, and the children are going to be helping with the worship service again on Palm Sunday, so it's worth coming. At the end, after the service is over, at the end, we're even going to get to see the St. Mark's dancers, which is going to be worth the ticket price all by itself. They're hilarious and adorable. So come on Sunday. I can't wait to see you all.